Lord, we welcome you amongst us today. May we be present to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure over the past week you've heard Winston Churchill's description of Russia more than once, that it is a riddle wrapped in an enigma. It might also be an apt description of Christianity too. When people look at Christianity from the outside, they often see only the religious bits, the buildings, the robes, the beliefs, most of which are centuries old and which can seem out of place in the modern world. But when faith is viewed from the inside, something else stands central. Hospitality is, I think, at the heart of what the Christian faith is all about. When people think of hospitality, what comes to mind is usually the provision of food or drink or a bed for the night. What we tend to see are the objects rather than the subjects involved. But hospitality is always about people. People and how they care for each other through a relationship. When hospitality is shared between friends, those who are worn are refreshed. When hospitality is shared, those parts that feel broken are restored. Those bits which seem lifeless are revitalized. Hospitality is not just the welcome we give to each other, it's also the connection we experience with God. When Jesus sent his disciples out into the world in Matthew 10, they must have been walking tall. They were given the power over unclean spirits, and the capacity to cure every disease. Who wouldn't want what they had? What's more, Jesus told them to go to their friends and neighbours. Not the hard to talk to outsiders, but those who know something about what God's kingdom is all about. Great, the disciples must have thought. Who wouldn't want to hear the good news and to see the sick healed, the dead raised, the impure made whole? Not everyone will want what you're offering, Jesus added. They'll be thrown out of homes and excluded from God's people. Fights with parents and kids would happen, because not everybody welcomes the students of Jesus. Everyone likes to think that every door would be open to a powerful prophet, that the red carpet would be rolled out to people who are kind and good. If someone offers you a cup of cold water, Jesus said, that won't go unnoticed. Because whoever welcomes you welcomes me and the one who sent me. The heart of Christianity is hospitality. It's all about welcoming people and turning none away, because whoever welcomes a person of faith, they welcome the Son and the Father who sent Jesus into the world. Christians around the world are pretty good at hospitality. We like to put on dinners and invite folks over to Ricardo's. While it's always easy to be the host, it can be uncomfortable being the guest, to receive hospitality from others, to receive a cup of water from a stranger, to be open, to be vulnerable, to let someone meet your needs, to be a guest of someone else. Well, you might just have to let a few things go. for a Jewish person in Jesus' day, receiving something from a stranger was always challenging for two reasons. The first challenge is around purity. In the ancient world, there were basically two kinds of people. Those who were ritually pure or fit to make a sacrifice and so share hospitality with God. And then there was everyone else who messed up purity for everyone else. A.J. Jacobs, a Jewish person living in New York City, spent a year trying to live biblically, to follow this pattern of purity. You can imagine the struggles he had trying to catch the subway into the city because everything was touched by everyone else. How do you stay pure on a subway car? One day he tells a story of how he had a fight with his wife, who then decided to sit on every chair in the house, making his desire for purity rather hard to maintain. Receiving a cup of water was difficult for a second reason. It might affect your status. A person's status in Jesus' world was always in flux. What you received from someone else would set the level in the pecking order in which others would see you. And so everyone only ever wanted to receive something from someone who was better than them. To accept hospitality from someone. Even the poorest person who could offer you a cup of water might just set your level of status lower than what you think you deserve. When we share hospitality, when we receive hospitality, we open up ourselves to be known and to know someone else. To receive a cup might just mean we need to let go of our fears, our thoughts about where we stand. We might just need to be open enough to discover somebody new. We might just need to become the person we were meant to be. When Abraham went up the mountain, it was to share hospitality with God. That's what sacrifices in the ancient world were all about. They were the way when divinity and humanity could meet together, well, over some barbecue. And because God's got no mouth, it would be the aroma of the offering that the gods would enjoy. From the outside, Genesis 22 is a horrifying story. It's hard to know what is worse, God testing Abraham by asking him to kill his son, or Abraham being almost willing to go through with it. Having been promised a son, he waited 25 years for Isaac's arrival. Having watched him grow into a youth, only to be told to sacrifice him. It's inexplicably horrible. So Abraham traveled 3 days to find the place. He gives the lad the wood to carry for the offering, while taking the fire and the cleaver for himself. Isaac asks, "Where is the sheep for the offering?" "God will provide, my son," came the reply. It's hard to imagine how Abraham might have felt when he climbed that mountain. Was he filled with fear? His desire to protect his son from everything? But as they walked, Abraham thought, God will provide. As he prepared the altar, I wonder if Abraham hoped, God will provide. As the wood was laid out and Isaac was tied up, I wonder if Abraham prayed, God will provide. And then, as he lifted that cleaver, Abraham came the voice, don't harm the lad. Now I know how fearlessly you listen, not hesitating, not holding back even your child, even your future, all that you have ever hoped for or desired, that which is most precious to you. And God's provision was found. A ram caught by the horns. From the outside, what we see is Abraham's obedience. It looks hard. It feels irrational. It seems dangerous. Abraham looks willing to obey God no matter the cost, no matter the consequences. From the outside, it looks like a scene of mindless obedience. But this might be to miss what's happening on the inside. For from the inside, Abraham's faith is about confidence. Confidence in God's goodness, God's generosity, God's consistency. That when there seemed to be no way out, God would nevertheless provide the way through. That day, Abraham received his perfect son back. Back from the dead, because God would keep God's promises. It's not clear why God wanted that which was most precious to Abraham. I'd suggest that God wasn't interested so much in having Isaac as that God wanted Abraham. God wanted Abraham to know that God could be trusted, even with the most precious thing that Abraham had, his son, his only son, Isaac, the one whom he loved with every fiber of his being. Abraham went up that mountain thinking that he would have to provide God with hospitality by being the host. But he came down from that mountain having experienced God's hospitality by being the guest. Abraham trusted God, the God of the living, would keep God's promises and provide a way through something which seemed all but impossible. As Christians, it's so easy for us to put things back to front, to think that our faith is all about what we give up for God, to believe that the best way to please God is to give up the biggest thing we can. I've met people who've given up homes and careers, parents and even children, all so that God might see and value their faith and bless them in return. Only I don't think God is interested in death, because God is always interested in life. When Abraham came down that mountain, he had experienced God's generosity and welcome and hospitality. He received God's blessing a second time. The promise that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars of heaven and that all nations would be blessed. In order to share hospitality with humanity, the Father went up on Calvary with his son. His son carried the wood upon his back. And when they reached the top, Jesus was crucified. The authorities killed Jesus that day, not out of obedient faith, but out of hate and rejection. God gave up his most precious one so that the endless loop of sin and death might be broken, so that all of God's children might be free. When Christ came down from that cross, a seed was planted, a seed that would give rise to a harvest from every tribe and tongue, from every nation. In a few moments, we will have an opportunity to gather as guests around God's table. There we will receive the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of God's Son, God's only Son, the Son who is loved more than anything, a Son who is given for us so that we might be free. God is not afraid of our impurity or our mistakes, our temptations, much less our stupidity or our wrong-headed ideas. God does not want the things we have to offer. God wants us to sit at his table and receive what he has prepared for us. He asks us simply to be curious, to be present, to be creative with what we receive. A life of faith is not about what we give up for God. A life of faith is rather being prepared to draw near to God, to receive from God. Because God has drawn near to us so that we might walk down whatever mountain we find ourselves upon, changed from the inside out. God's world is a world of fresh beginnings and new starts, of unexpected provision and new friends. And it just starts with meeting a stranger who comes bearing something as small as a cup of water. Amen.